Good evening, happy Monday. Welcome to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great one. We're going to do our best to make it better for you tonight. We have a show full of the latest hottest topics everyone's talking about. Of course, we have to talk about the firing of Fox News' Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon on CNN. They both got fired today. Find out why. And then the former Brooklyn Center police officer who was convicted for killing 20-year-old black man Dante Wright. She's being released from jail early. Find out why. Usher, he reveals he wants to headline the Super Bowl. He says it's on his bucket list. He believes he has the catalog. What do you think? And then more on Jonathan Majors, you know, the actor. A woman, his ex-girlfriend, accused him of assault. Now other women are coming out, but he and his attorney are fighting back on the case. Find out what they have to say. And then Phil Jackson, former NBA coach Phil Jackson, he had some interesting comments regarding the BLM movement, as it relates to the NBA. Kind of have people scratching their heads. And then finally, a Texas man, he was recently sentenced to life in prison after being arrested and charged for his 9th DWI. Do you think the sentence was fair? I just want to remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. If you'd rather watch us, go to our YouTube channel, The Stephen Knight Show. When we come back, the question of the day and hot topics, right back after this.
Before this life feels incredible. Together we can do anything, so eternal feels like infinity. Baby, I run till the end of time just to have you in my life.
Never let go. Give me your hand, come grab a hold. Let me touch you right to your soul.
Let's do it together, make it last forever.
Let's let it be for all eternity. Till the end of the earth, I will follow you, girl. You forever, forever, forever.
So baby, I'm trying to make you see our future feels like a fantasy. No doubt this love is here to stay. I know you feel the same way.
Never let go. Give me your hand, come grab a hold. Let me touch you right to your soul.
Let's do it together, make it last forever.
Let's let it be for all eternity. Till the end of the earth, I will follow you, girl. You forever, forever, forever.
Everything you thought you'd ever need. I love you forever.
I love you forever.
Girl, I love you forever.
Forever.
I promise I'll always be true. 'Cause can't nobody do it like you. I love you forever.
I love you forever.
Girl, I love you forever.
love you forever.
Chili, help you button up your overcoat. Hold the toast, bottle like half a brick. Schoolgirl, biochem, study Latin lit. Passionate, love to help the less fortunate. Triple threat, had a marvel at her gorgeousness. Homesick, talking about she love the snow. Different places that her mother and her cousins go. Bungalows, wanna hide like one of those. Do nothing, run around in her underclothes. Summer glow, back home, sipping OVO. Road to riches, she acting like she know the road. Showing you things I ain't supposed to show. Next winter, we skiing in the Poconos. And in my mind, I'm really hoping so. Mind sex, our bond is so emotional. Simple life, top down on the open road. Black and white, like when Jane met Colangelo. Your pops and told. Real lies, he was just being a dad though. Like Castro, mom's name Cassandra. To this day, yeah, she still make the best lasagna. There's nothing left for me to ponder. Beat you with a bow like it's a privilege and an honor. We at the penthouse in Palazzo. In the Venetian, we was next to El Chapo. Now we lost out in Cabo. The greedy ass, you a fiend for a taco. Just got those books, she like to read a lot. In the water on them jets like to ski a lot. Tequila shots, bad and bougie on the radio. That Jose got her acting like she Quavo. For the pesos, hit me with a pole dance. Made it rain, we got a different type of romance. In the ear, love it when you slow dance. She a stallion, she ride, I'm using both hands. Both plan to enjoy this little odyssey. Beach hop to avoid the monotony. Nymphadamus, seen it like a prophecy. Mrs. Long, yeah, I'm thinking quite possibly. They look at us like we a novelty. Pop out and paparazzi on the property.
Yo, what's up? This is Daryl.
It's Rhea.
It's Paco.
It's Aja, and we're the Walls Group, and you're listening to the Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Hope you're having a great Monday. I'm going to try to make it better for you. We have a show full of the latest hot topics everyone is talking about. Chike is not here tonight, but we have Adam from Movie Reviews filling in for us, as always. Thank you, Adam. But yeah, remind you all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course our official website is StephenKnightShow.com. You can go check our merch there as well. And yeah. So how y'all doing? Everybody doing good?
Yeah.
Are you doing all right?
I am so tired.
I understand. Trust me. Trust me. Did you have a good weekend? Was the weekend good? Anything exciting?
What was the weekend? Oh my God. What was the week? Oh my God. What was the weekend? Shout out to my girlfriend Tiffany. Chica and I actually went to Maryland on Friday.
Oh.
Her daughter is in the drama club and they did a Motown tribute.
Mm.
And it was amazing. Fresh, high schoolers.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. We had a great time. Tori did an amazing job. They really did an amazing job.
That's with great.
That show, 2 hours of singing and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. And so we just did a quick trip down Friday and came back.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my mother with me. My mom she's kind of nonverbal. She has dementia. So she's with me right now. And I'm kind of like a mom all over again.
Right. Yeah.
She's grown, so I'm just like, she's sleeping and I'm just like watching her, checking on her.
Yeah.
Let me see the chest moving like moms do. So I am tired because I've been with her. She's here.
I can imagine.
I'm beat. So
what about you, Adam? You do anything exciting?
Yeah, so my mom and brother were actually in town for the weekend. So they've been a few times, but we still went to see, a lot of the sights of D.C., walked around the waterfront in Georgetown, the waterfront in the Wharf in Southwest, and really just, it was a good weekend, good weather for the most part. So, yeah, it was fun. Just, you definitely get your steps in on days when people come to town and they want to see all the sights. So, yeah, it was fun, though.
Yeah, I was all over the city of Atlanta this weekend. One of my friends, he used to live here. He moved actually to D.C. Maybe about 5 years ago. So he's back this weekend, and we did some of everything this weekend. But it was good to see him, as always.
Thanks.
Our question of the day is it possible to stay friends with your exes? I'll ask you, Lania.
I think it all depends on the ex and the situation and circumstances surrounding why you two are no longer together.
Yeah.
Some people I just don't rock with. Once I remove myself, especially if it wasn't, then there's no reason for us to be.
Yeah.
There are people that I'm cool with. Like if I see you on the street, I'll speak to you.
Right.
But outside of that, you get on my wrong side, I'm like Casper the Friendly Ghost. You will never see me again. And if I see you on the street, I don't know you.
I heard that. What about you, Adam? You're a married man. Are you friends with your exes?
I think Alinea is right. It does depend on the situation. I guess it depends on how you would define friend. I think I'm friendly with pretty much all my exes, but I don't talk to them. I don't hang out with them. I don't see them. So I guess in the stretch of a definition of a friend, perhaps, but not like someone I hang out with.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Same. It depends on how it ended, why it ended. And I think your friends use that loosely, but we're cordial. We're cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tweets at home, let us know, is it possible to stay friends with your exes? All right, well, there's a slew of shocking media firings all occurring in less than 24 hours for different reasons and has thrown the cable news industry into a tailspin. Cable news is already under extraordinary pressure to survive, but the drama engulfing some of the industry's top personnel is putting spotlight on how chaotic the industry has become. Now, three companies involved, Fox News, CNN, and NBCU, haven't publicly tapped permanent replacements for their departed execs and hosts, suggesting the networks were unprepared for the significant and public personnel changes. Now, shocking news broke Monday that two top cable news anchors had been fired less than a day after NBCU CEO Jeff Shell was unexpectedly fired for an inappropriate workplace relationship. Fox News said Monday the network and its star primetime host Tucker Carlson have agreed to part ways after more than a decade. Carlson's last program was Friday, April 21st per the network, meaning Carlson didn't get a chance to sign off to his viewers. And then I heard today that he found out 10 minutes before they fired him that they're about to fire him. CNN, after shortly announced that Don Lemon had been fired, Lemon said in a Twitter post that he was stunned. He said that he was informed by his agent Monday morning that he had been terminated, but CNN later came back and said that they, because he was saying he wished a manager came and told him, not his agent, but they said that his recount of the facts is not accurate. All right, so, but there have been drama circling Carlson and Lemon for months. Donovan made comments about a woman being out of her prime when she's over 50. He had to apologize for that. And then Tucker Carlson with the whole January 6th and that, you know, the historical settlement with Dominion voting system. Fox had to pay over $787 million to Dominion voting over saying this voting was hacked, it was rigged, and he was one of the main people, Carlson, that came up in that court case. So, they said that, you know, cable news is already struggling because everyone's doing streaming now. What do you think about these firings? I'll start with you, Adam. What do you think about Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon first? Because they're big names.
Yeah, so of course Tucker Carlson is long time coming, but I know Fox News didn't fire him because he wasn't a good person, or he wasn't a, you know, nice person. But yeah, the Tucker thing was surprising. He long due, get him off the air. He's not good for what's going on with the country, what's going on with the nation. Yeah. I think the Dominion thing is a part of it. You know, some of the rumor mill says that there's actually going to be some accusations against the show, maybe some sexual harassment accusations that happened during the show, which also may appear soon, which is why they may have preemptively gotten rid of Carlson. Again, who knows? But, you know, I think it's a good direction for American society to have him off air. And I know he'll go probably do a podcast or something where he'll be super popular anyway, but just getting him off Fox was quite surprising. And Rupert Murdoch does things for the money, and if there was money in cutting their top Fox News anchor, then he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, there was a producer that a female producer, she has a lawsuit against him for inappropriate comments and workplace harassment. So interested you brought that up. Linnea, what do you think about this?
So this is the first time I'm hearing about it, because I had, you know, I'm not really on
right
social media. The only thing that I can really touch on is when you give your life to an employer and they drop you at the drop of a hat, a dime, a quarter, a nickel, and you've given a substantial amount of your time. Never get attached when you're working for somebody else in that capacity. That's a conversation that my friends and I are always having, because at the end of the day, they will and they can let you go. But I see it being a major thing because, you know, Don Lemon has been on for years. And I know that for the past couple, I've heard that for the past couple of months, he's been saying some off the wall things. I haven't heard what he said personally, so I don't know whether it's off the wall or what context he may have said something in that, since he's been within a group setting and not his own show. He's been kind of going back battling with his co-host. I think that he does better by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people do better by themselves than versus within a group. As far as Tucker Carlson, good riddance.
Pretty much.
You know, it there's a lot that go, but just mainstream, you know, mainstream news anyway, you know, it's, I can't even say what it is. I don't have the appropriate word,
right,
in regards to what it is and what they create narratives about and who and how when it comes to people in the world. So, you know, he's going to, just like Adam said, he's going to find a platform, just like, who is it? Joe Rogan and the,
oh yeah,
the barstool dude who is completely racist, like, right, super racist. So he'll find a platform to go on, and his followers will follow him, because if he goes to a podcast, he won't have no restrictions like that.
Yeah. He was a top rated show for Fox. But Don Lemon, they've been coming out, he's been coming under fire a lot lately anyway. Wow. They released that article about him, and they said that he had diva behavior, and apparently he slept with an intern and whatever, allegedly. And Soledad O'Brien, she told a story where during 2020, when we had all the racial reckoning going on in the country, that they were going to do a special, you know, on all of that, and they were waiting to see who was getting the special. And so they announced, she said she wasn't there, but someone told her they announced that she was getting the special. And Don Lemon says to everyone in the room, she's not even black.
She is black.
She is black. She's fair skinned, but yeah.
She is black. Like, you see her parents? Son?
Right, exactly. So
she's black.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. I'm sure they'll both be fine. Like, even like Chris Cuomo, they let him go, what, a year ago, 2 years ago, and he has his own show again, you know.
Don Lemon's probably gonna take Tucker's role at Fox News.
Now that would be
circle funny. Continues.
That would be funny.
That's crazy.
And I'll be honest, I don't watch cable news. Actually, I don't even have cable, so I think the extent of my cable news watching is in the airport when CNN is on the TVs in the background. It won't affect me personally much, these changes, but yeah, it's definitely interesting, and I think it was just a weird, abrupt Monday to get rid of two people, and maybe there's a reason for timing, and, you know, they say, for example, when tech was doing layoffs, one company will do it, the other companies will do it, so it kind of rolls all into the news at the same time, and no one thinks much about it. Maybe this was like a coordinated thing, but yeah, very interesting on the timing.
Yeah.
To think about it, he was taken off of prime time a while back, right?
Don Lemon, that's what I was thinking. I wonder why they moved him to prime time.
Yeah, so he went from, like, when they do stuff like that, then something's in the works.
Yeah.
And him being removed from prime time actually happened before you started hearing about him making all these comments or whatever. So he had already been, quote, I hate to say it, quote unquote, for him, it's a downgrade, because prime time in the evening,
yeah,
I mean, when folks are home, that's when they watch. Right. So he had already been downgraded. So this started sometime before then.
Yeah.
With them wanting to, you know, and they would complain about him being drunk on New Year's Eve, which is stupid, because that's what people do.
Yeah.
And people enjoyed him.
They enjoyed, yeah.
He was drunk.
Yeah. And you know, they announced a new show coming to CNN with Gayle King and Charles Barkley called King Charles.
Bye.
It's going to be on Wednesday starting in the fall. They talk about social things. But yeah, so look, and she's still staying at CBS Mornings, but she's getting $12 million for a show, for a contract, $12 million for a 1 day a week show.
Wow.
I'm right.
I get nothing for my one day a week show at the Stephen Knight Show, so yeah, just doing good.
All right, well, a former Brooklyn Center Police officer convicted of killing 20-year-old Black Adante Wright during a traffic stop has been released from prison. Kim Porter, she was released from the Minneapolis Correction Facility at 5 a.m. today, ABC News reports. Porter reportedly served 16 months of her 2-year prison sentence. Furthermore, she will serve the remainder 2 years under supervised release in Wisconsin. Now, the reason for regarding her time release was out of abundance of caution for the safety of Ms. Porter, just according to DOC staff, And so she was convicted of first and second degree manslaughter in April 11, 2021 shooting. She had pled not guilty for both charges, but she was ultimately sentenced last year to 24 months in prison. She also received a $1,000 fine. This was a case where she pulled over Dante Wright. He was in the car, and he had his the thing in the dashboard,
air freshener.
Excuse me. And so she pulled him over. Then she found out that he had a warrant. There was a scuffle, and she pulled out her gun and shot him instead of her taser. And so they had wanted her to do a lot more time. 15 years, face of 15 years for manslaughter, first degree, and 10 years for manslaughter, but she only got the 2 years, and she's getting out earlier because of her safety. So are you surprised, Linnea, that she's getting out early? And I mean, is it a real thing? You know, she's a police officer, she's in jail. You know, I'm sure that didn't go over too well with the inmates, but is it fair she's getting out early?
No, it's not fair she's getting out early. It's not fair she's not doing her whole time, even though that 24 months ain't worth two pennies. No, it's not fair. But she'll be like the other dude. Oh my God, who was it? The guy who killed Breonna Taylor, the cop who killed him. Yeah. Oh, he just got a sheriff's job.
Yeah. They say he brings a lot of experience to the.
No, he don't. He brings something else, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. This is what it is. This is what it is.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Adam?
Yeah, I agree. The whole out of abundance for caution, for safety, blah, blah, blah. That's so what about all the other inmates that have probably issues or they need their safety? How is this person getting special treatment? And we know how and why. So it's not surprising in the sense. But yeah, this is such a weird move to make for, you know, Wisconsin to do. It seems like unnecessary. But I guess they just figured they can, so they will.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Usher sharing his interest in heading the Super Bowl halftime show. The 44-year-old R&B singer recently spoke exclusively to Access Hollywood and expressed that the goal has been on his bucket list. During a recent interview with Access Hollywood, he undoubtedly said he's interested in performing. Pretty much said after he was able to get on the stage during at 2011, with Black Eyed Peas and will.i.am to perform OMG. He said after watching Michael Jackson, Snoop, Dr. Dre, Prince perform, it's been on his bucket list, and he believes that he definitely has the set list, the catalog to do so. And so Instagram, they agreed with him. One said Usher has a lot of great music and he's a good fit for the halftime show. Another said Usher has so many hits, it'll be a great halftime show. And someone said Vegas is the best thing for him. He's been showing out. You know, he has residency there. And they brought a lot of people to his shows at his residency at the Dolby Live at Park MGM. He's brought out Young Miami, Little Baby, Joe Biden, Jermaine Dupri, and many more. So could you see Usher doing his thing at the halftime show?
Yes, please. I want this to just be like the Dr. Dre show where Ludacris comes out, Little John, you know, let's get a whole showcase of Atlanta artists for the show. Because I think that Dr. Dre halftime show was probably the best in a very long time. And of course, I love Atlanta, so I'm a little biased. But yeah, let's get the whole showcase. Let's even bring our childhood back in the 90s.
What are your thoughts, Linnea? Would he be a good addition to the halftime show?
Definitely. I mean, you know, I don't see from what bits and pieces that I've gotten to see and hear, his residency is amazing. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had the money, because I would love to go. Like, I know that he puts on a show. Like, he just, because, like, not only are you talking about the celebrities who attend, we're talking about the ones who he makes part of his shows. Like, yeah. He just hit Teyana Taylor a part of his show just recently. And
shout out to Evan Campbell, you know,
he's brought out a lot of people, you know, giving people their flowers. So, I think it would be a great idea. I don't know, you know, who makes that decision, but you know, it would definitely, you know, be a good look, and it would be a fantastic halftime show if done correctly.
Yeah,
if he can put the same way he's doing his residency.
I agree.
The best.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to top Michael, because I'm a Michael Jackson lover.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to top Michael in my eyes. Prince is second, and then Beyonce.
Yeah, he definitely has a catalog. I think he would do a great show. I like Adam's idea to bring out some of the ATLNs to hit the stage with him. I think he would do a great job. Great job. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, find out the latest about Jonathan Majors right back after this. Where is my stop?
Every day we on that gangsta shit, we live. Turn this shit up at the party for a vibe. She like the way that I move. She like the way that I dance. Niggas don't know what to do. They say I came through with the gang. So try to do what you trying to do. Still got my gun in my hand. Said she wanna take a perk with me. Got me feeling like the man. Yeah, we in a party lit. We in a party lit. Yeah, we in a party lit. We in a party lit. Yeah, sipping Bacardi, bitch. We got the party lit. Yeah, and she my little party, bitch. She got the party lit. Yeah, she like the way that I move. The shit that I do. I'm dripping designer. And I don't know what to do. Nah, must be the weed in the bottle. After this party, she getting lit. After this party, party hit in the crib. After this party, sipping Bacardi, she gon' retarded all on the neck. Now I'm in my bag, this Henny hit again. Ops in here looking mad like we won't spin again. Now they turn off the music to tell us chill again. Then they play that Dreams and Nightmares and we get lit again. I used to pray for times like this, to rhyme like this. So I had to grind like that, to shine like this. In a matter of time I spit on some locked up shit. In the back of the paddy wagon, cuffs locked on wrist. I see my dreams unfold, niggas ain't even know. Me and Don from the block, popping them be moving slow. Get money, you already know, and we stay with the pose. Get money to handle though, I got the antidote. No, no. V stay with the beans, money ain't even from the stream. Pushing the V, then we sliding out the V, then we cop another V. No, I do my dance on the bitch. The party we making it lit. My niggas they play with them sticks. Move up, then we empty and clear. She like the way that I move. She like the way that I dance. Niggas don't know what to do. They say I came through with the gang. So try to do what you trying to do. Still got my gun in my hand. Said she wanna take a perk with me. Got me feeling like the man. Yeah, we in a party lit. We in a party lit. Yeah, we in a party lit. We in a party lit. Yeah, sipping Bacardi, bitch. We got the party lit. Yeah, and she my little party, bitch. She got the party lit. Yeah, money, power, and respect. Nah, we get that back and then we go and get that check. Nah, no, bitch, she on me and she wanna perk a set. Nah, we in the party, then we hopping on the jet. Nah. Every day we on that gangsta shit, we live. Turn this shit up at the party for a vibe.
For a vibe, no.
For a vibe, my niggas ride. And if you play, I swear to God, you finna die.
To you for a minute. Now cleaning up today, I found a picture about around the time when we first met, and I started to reminisce about where we've been, what we've been through, and where we at. Yeah, 1 year, 4 months, 3 weeks, 2 days, an hour, 30 seconds of each other, getting to know each other, loving each other, going through things with each other. And you've been right there for me through everything, everything, baby. And it ain't been easy, Nothing in life comes easy, see now. But if we work it out, I know, no doubt we'll be where we're trying to be. So let's make a deal. If you stay true, I'll stay down for real. Don't let nobody or nothing come in between us. And we'll be like Romeo, Juliet, Bonnie and Clyde, you and me, a love story. Baby, I appreciate you, yeah, and everything you do for me, my baby. I'll do anything in this whole world for you. But sometimes it's so hard to just be with you, baby. 'Cause all my friends talking about this and that. What he doing, where he at, and why he ain't called you back. But I don't care, 'cause I know where your heart is, and we know what this is. And it don't matter if they understand it, 'cause we ain't going nowhere. Let's make a deal. If you stay true, I'll stay down for real. Don't let nobody or nothing come in between us. And we'll be like Romeo, Juliet, Bonnie and Clyde, you and me, a love story. This is chapter one, called the story of us. From what we go through, we'll write our history. Time will tell, we don't know what will happen next, but I wanna see what the end gonna be. Yeah, yeah. Be true, I'll stay down for real. Baby, please don't let nothing come between us, and we will be.
Hey, this is Eric Roberson, and you are checking out The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Remind you, we're all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and of course, our official website, thestephenknightshow.com. If you'd rather watch us, go to our YouTube channel, Stephen Knight Show. All right, well, Jonathan Majors claims there's a video proof that he did not strike or injure the woman accusing him of assault, believed to be his ex-girlfriend, per her initial reports by TMZ. On Wednesday, Jonathan's attorney, Prima Chaudhry, filed documents in Manhattan telling the court that what the driver will witness. According to the docs obtained by TMZ, the driver reportedly filmed the alleged video while driving the former couple on March 25th. Maintaining his innocence, Major's representation even said that the woman went to the club following an accusation of domestic violence. The driver reportedly said that he saw the woman attack Jonathan around 1 a.m., while she was attempting to steal his phone. He agreed to testify that he never saw the Creed 3 star hit the alleged victim in any way or any time, or even raise his voice. Majors and his attorney said that the driver saw her hitting, scratching, and attacking Jonathan. The driver also revealed that Jonathan asked to stop the car so he could escape. The woman reportedly told police that she broke her finger and suffered a cut behind her ear during the altercation. However, Chaudhry says, and the document that they have evidence that that was a complete lie. Chaudhry also says that there are hours of surveillance video footage showing the woman went clubbing, got drunk after Majors left her in the vehicle. The unnamed woman also texted him, accusing him of cheating and threatening suicide. Majors' court filing includes screenshots of CCTV video showing her using her right hand without any issue, the same hand that she said she suffered a broken finger earlier that night. Video shows her partying throughout the evening, taking shots and drinking glasses of champagne with her friends without any visible sign of injury. After her night at the club was over, Majors claims that she showed up at his home just before 3:30 a.m., called him 32 times, and then sent him angry and jealous text messages, as Majors was not home when she arrived. His attorney says that none of the text messages she sent accused him of hurting her, nor does she mention any alleged injuries. Jonathan eventually called 911 and claimed when the paramedics arrived, the woman repeatedly told them, "I don't know," when they asked what happened to her. Major says that he had found her at his home half naked and having thrown up, telling him that she had taken a few sleeping pills. In the document, his attorney claims body cam footage shows police interviewing the woman and clearly coaching her to say that Mr. Majors grabbed her by the throat. Chaudhry added that the alleged victim never made that claim to anyone before the officer's direction. Jonathan was arrested on March 25th and charged with misdemeanor assault, aggravated harassment, and attempted assault and harassment. Meanwhile, Chaudhry and Majors want the district attorney to quickly dismiss the false charges against him. However, an exclusive report, Vanity Fair, there are multiple alleged abuse victims of Majors have come forward and are cooperating with the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. The Shade Room has reported that the case has already cost him a lot. Majors has reportedly been dropped by his management team, public relations firm, in light of the accusations, and also the U.S. Army also yanked a popular recruiting commercial star in Jonathan. So when you hear these details, what do you think? Because, you know, we have this account, you know, and apparently this witness and the video footage. But then now we have these other women are coming out saying that he abused them as well. Lania, what are your thoughts on all of this?
So, you know how I feel about I don't instantly defer, you know, to the woman because I'm a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I got to ask questions and I need to know. So before this incident, which was the catalyst of everything else, where were these other people?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it that you only waited until now to say something? Because there's a bad habit of one thing starting and then people jumping on the train like it's a trend. Let's keep it all the way funky. I don't know if this man did it or not, but whenever something like this happens, it's never innocent until proven guilty. It's always guilty. And even if you are innocent, you are going to remain guilty for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that you could do about it once that stain is put on you. And even if there was something from his past, when do people... No, let me not say that. There's just this thing of we know that people make mistakes. But again, where were these people before this situation? And what were those allegations? And why was nothing ever done? You know, whatever. I would just like for people to, you know, use their thinking before any judgments are made. But unfortunately, he's lost, like it's amazing how you were at a pinnacle. Like you were, it was your season.
Yeah.
And now all of that has been taken away. And it might not even be true.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. He hasn't been.
How did you come back from that?
He hasn't been to court. I believe he lost some of his upcoming roles as well. And so, you know, like you said, it's not innocent before, it's guilty before proven innocent, you know. Adam, what are your thoughts on this?
You want, Adam, we can't hear you.
Thank you. Sorry. muted myself. So yeah, I don't know too much besides what you just explained, Stephen, but I think, you know, I like Jonathan Majors. I think he's a good actor. I hope they're not true, but I can't really decide on anything until we see what happens, what goes on in the case. One thing I will say, if he is innocent, I think he'll be able to recover his career. And the only reason I say that is because apparently they keep giving Mel Gibson work. And yeah, and so if Hollywood doesn't care about what Mel Gibson does for the past like 20 years, I think that'll be easy to forgive an innocent person and get them back in the limelight. So we'll see. And of course, you know, money talks. So if there's money to be had, they'll find a way.
Yeah, I just hate the time, like when you were saying this was his moment, you know.
Yeah.
He had two successful movies recently released, Creed and the Ant-Man one. What's that?
And with, like once you're with the Marvel Universe, like there's a different spectrum. You know, and you know, people loved his character so much, and it was a villain.
Right.
He literally loved his character. Mm-hmm. So the thought process of creating something specifically for that character because people loved it so much in the Marvel Universe, you know, that's a separate entity with other things because Marvel is just So, you know, I hope that this gets resolved. But like, you know, like with, you know, unfortunately, you know, especially a stain like this, it's just, it's always going to be people who won't let you live it down.
Yeah.
It's always going to be though, especially with the help of the internet, and people will never, ever let you live it down.
Yeah. Pray the truth comes out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, former NBA basketball coach Phil Jackson, he got super real while speaking with Rick Rubin earlier this month for a podcast interview. This is now going viral for some comments that Jackson made about the BML movement, including BML slogans and logos popping up in the NBA. During a sit-down with Rubin, the iconic head coach who retired in 2011 after winning 11 championships throughout his career with Chicago Bulls and Los Angeles Lakers, stemming from the 90s through early 2010s, I revealed that he has not watched NBA games since 2020. So host Rick Rubin asks, do you still watch a lot of basketball or no? When and did you stop immediately from the time you stopped coaching? And he abruptly blurted out, no, I don't. And then the second question said, no, I don't. I watched how the game evolved and decided when they went into the lockdown year and they did something that was kind of wanky. They did a bubble down in Orlando, and all the teams that could qualify went down there and stayed there. Jackson continued and mentioned the BML slogans popping up on NBA. He said, and then they had things on their back like justice and a little funny thing like justice just went to basketball and equal opportunity knocked him down. And somebody had another name for a guy who has on the back of his jersey, he had some slogan. So my grandkids thought that was pretty funny to play up on those names, so I couldn't watch that. Rubin then asked, do you feel like it made a little of the game, like it made it like a sideshow? What do you think, what was it turned you off? And he said it was. They even had slogans on the floor, on the baseline, it was catering. They were trying to cater to the audience or try to bring a certain audience into play. And they don't know that it was turning people off. People want to see sports, not non-political. And he went on to talk about how there have been players who have gone on to, you know, be in politics, but they kept their politics off the court. And so pretty much he was saying that when they started posting the justice slogans and things like that, it turned them off because people wanted to watch sports and not be political. So Adam, he's gotten some backlash from some of the players and some of the commentators. But does he have a point that people, you know, a lot of celebrities, like they don't usually get into politics because they want their, like their music or their movie to be like their escape, you know, from the day to day. And he feels like NBA was catering to the moment by adding the slogans. What do you think about all that?
Well, I mean, if the audience is people who want justice in the country,
yeah,
what he's worried about, then I that's silly. He's so, of course, this is like another old person makes racist comments and doesn't see anything wrong with it, but he's definitely wrong. Like, players can do what they want. They don't have to be political, and they can't be political. It's their life. It's their job. It's not their job. Sorry. It's their life. It's, you know, their career. They can do what they want to do with their career, and the industry can do what it wants to do. And it also sounds like he's a little anti, or not anti-vax, but, you know, he was kind of saying it's silly to keep the game going on during a pandemic, which, again, it's just, it sounds like another old guy making comments that are very inappropriate. I'm fine with, you know, celebrities and actors making the comments. You know, LeBron got made fun of a lot or criticized a lot when he was catering to China after something came out with NBA, and he said, you know, we love China, whatever. That's, people are going to make their decisions. So if he's worried, if this is the hill he wants to die on, it seems like a really bad choice.
Lania?
So there's two things, you know, that have, actually it's a few things. The NBA is more fluid when it comes to players expressing themselves versus the NFL.
Right.
The NBA is definitely more fluid with that. The NBA also saw an opportunity to capitalize off of a movement. That's one. People always complain. It's like a double-edged sword. You damn if you do, you damn if you don't. People will complain that celebrities do not speak out against X, Y, and Z, and, you know, their voices are important because they have money, they have whatever, whatever. When those said celebrities do turn around and speak out, then it's a problem. You need to shut up and dribble. You need to shut up and sing. You need to shut up and just do whatever it is that you do and stay out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But at the end of the day, I'm supposed to be an American citizen, and I have free will, and I have the right to X, Y, and Z. And I can use my platform for either good or bad,
mm-hmm.
or indifferent. Depends on the person. And, you know, that's why some people back in the day never wanted people to know their political affiliations.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, a Pandora's box was opened during a certain time, and it can't be closed. And you get to really see people who have hid all these years,
mm-hmm.
Who are no longer hiding, and then they get offended when they're called out on their BS because you had a whole slew of black men who have gotten you millions of dollars, who have made you millions of dollars, with beaten and tattered bodies, day, like night in and day out. Those same black men have cousins and uncles and aunts who have been affected in some form of fashion by stuff that goes on in these streets that you're not used to, that you don't know about. So Phil Jackson can go have several seats in the geriatric unit and enjoy himself, because I don't think your grandkids were laughing about that. I think they probably were laughing at you.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, people have a platform, and we're living in different times. One, we're in the middle of a pandemic. Two, we are witnessing someone being killed on camera. You know, we found out about Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd, all back to back. You know what I mean? And so, the NBA wasn't the only team that was speaking up. I was getting emails from Uber, Lyft, Uber Eats, you know, all showing support for the movement. So, yeah, he should have kept that one to himself. Should never kept this one to himself. All right, well, this last story is kind of wild. So, a Texas man was repeatedly sentenced for life in prison for being arrested and charged with his ninth DWI charge, driving while intoxicated. The man has been since identified as 50-year-old Christopher Farron Stanford of Weatherford. And when asked by a jury about how he racked up 9 charges of the same crime, he claimed that he was very unlucky rather than being irresponsible for driving under influence, let alone have an alcohol problem. So as his latest DWI charge, it dates back to August 15th of 2020, where he was driving intoxicated, crashed into an intersection of FM 51 and SH 171, which sits just south of Weatherford. Investigators learned that his car had sped through a red light, rear-ended another vehicle on the road. Upon crashing his car, he fled the scene on foot. Investigators claimed that he reportedly told the other driver, that he had to leave quickly because he was about to get in trouble. About 30 minutes after the crash, he was discovered with ripped jeans, shirt, because he had jumped over a barbed wire fence. Local authorities also claimed that he tried to headbutt the emergency first responder who was trying to treat his injuries. Upon being arrested, police discovered that his blood alcohol concentration level was 0.267, which is more than 3 times the limit. It was reported that after pleading guilty to a felony driving while intoxicated charge, he chose to have the Parker County jury give him a punishment of life in prison. After his 15th year served, he's eligible for parole, but again, once his time is served, plus a good time credit. Now, the final decision will be up to the Texas Board of Pardons and Paroles. Meanwhile, Stanford had previously been sentenced 4 times to prison for his DWI charges in Dallas, Rockwall, Tarrant, and Johnson counties. They said his record shows that he was going to continue to endangering communities throughout the Metroplex unless he was locked up. So do you think that life in prison was an appropriate punishment for this repeated offender, Linnea?
I swear I'm never going back to Texas. Texas or Florida. The whole system needs to spend life in prison because he shouldn't have made it past 1 DUI. You're just literally waiting for him to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. And 9 times out of 10, and I hate to say it, when you have somebody who is like a constant threat like that, they never be the one to get taken up out of here. They always take somebody else up out of here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's never them. They get to live. And it's not fair. So I blame the system for not handling that. And, you know, maybe if he gets a... No, not maybe, nothing. Like, I don't even know what you do with somebody like that, because obviously he don't care. He ain't got no help. So what do you do with a person like that? Is there a thing to have some kind of surgery to take away the urge for liquor? I don't know. Maybe if you castrate him, he won't drink no more.
Ouch. Yeah. Adam, what do you
mean? I won't go as far as mutilation, but yeah, there has to be something. I mean, yeah, it's this shows a failing of the system. They charged him multiple times, and instead of finding ways to get him help, they just let him go. As for the charge, if I heard you correctly, he chose to get life in prison.
Because mm-hmm.
So,
he wasn't going to stop drinking.
Yeah, so I think he knew what was up, and I think he was ready just to kind of end it there. So, I mean, I think that the charge is just because he asked for it. But I also think there's definitely, it shows a big failing in the system to let someone get to this level of 9 DWIs.
Yeah. And thank God that person that he hit was okay. But he was okay. Obviously, he was able to flee on foot. I bet he came out of that alcohol state as soon as he hit that car, though.
But now my insurance is going to go up because you hit me.
Right.
what's the word? Look, a consecutive DWI drinker, right. Whatever. Yeah. You hit me, and now my insurance company, they gonna punish me because of what you did,
right?
And I wonder if he had car insurance, because they had to know, the car insurance company, who covering you?
Yeah.
Like, who's covering right. you? Like, what insurance company is covering that type of liability?
Mm-hmm. We had, Adam and I, we used to work together years ago, and we had the guy at our job who, he had those things you had to blow into before you...
in his car, yeah.
It don't even sound like they did that, because right. he shouldn't be able to start the car.
Right.
If he did that, you can't start your car.
Yeah. Be safe out there, everyone. Well, listen, mm-hmm. Linnea, thank you as always for Hot Topics. Adam, I will see you on Movie Reviews, and we will be right back after this.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Bella shouted, she from overseas. Valentino lingo when she talk to me. And she drippy Gucci on her feet. Yeah, she show me love when she comforts me. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, she active. I hit it, I smash it. That thing fantastic, you know. In my fast whip, 200 on dash and wall. Yeah, we going dumb, so you know she room with us. Yeah, hope you don't got a man, girl. Hottie, I'm a fan girl. Ooh, love that shit. Love that shit. Ooh, love that shit. Love that shit. Ooh, love that shit you do. Love that shit you do. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Love that shit you do, yeah.
Most anticipated, yeah. She on purchase, we on Zanny getting faded, yeah. Whoa. Still right on my mission, yeah. For real. That's working to them beds. Turn your bitch into a fan, yeah. Ooh. Don't forget I'm trippy, yeah. I'm wanting more commas, he wanting more follows, yeah.
For real.
They don't want no drama, yeah.
No.
VMG the gang, and I put BBs in my chain, yeah. Ooh, love that shit. I love that shit. Ooh, love that shit. Love that shit.
Ooh, love that shit you do. Love that shit you do. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Love that shit you do, yeah.
Put her in her place, and now I know that she likes that. Designer bass, Prada, Saffiano, night bag. She wanna stay for the weekend, and she might pull up in a race, but a case of the white. I've been navigating, now I'm in a hurry. I think we vibing, but it could be a phase. Though she'll get what she wants if I get what I want.
Moving slow, I'm 45. Yeah, we catching vibes. Hit my line, Roger Clementine. Sweet like lemon lime. Put in work, put in time. Try not to ignore the sign. What's your sign? What's your type? You like boats, you like flights. I just wanna know, yeah. Let me hold ya. She like Henny with the cola. So rockin' soda. Southwest LA, Texas soldier. When she shows up, yeah, my baby, she shuts it down. She's so 90s, gin and juice. It's the late night rendezvous. I can't choose between the two. My baby got the juice. She got the juice. She got the juice. Drip, drip. Shawty, shawty, hella saucy. Shawty, shawty, hella saucy. Got the dip with the sauce. Shawty, shawty, hella saucy. Shawty, shawty, hella saucy. Drip, drip with the sauce. Shawty, shawty, hella saucy. Shawty, shawty, freaking awesome. Porsche truck, she in a Beamer. She's switching lane, I'm tryna keep up. COC, I'm tryna creep up. De Leon, tequila. She bitty bomb like Selena. She go for whatever she wants. Fourth down with no pawns.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. Adam, looks like it's just me and you tonight. Chike's out.
Yeah, I'll hold it down. So I saw a couple of things. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I had some family in town. So most of my watching was stuck to streaming. But I saw, the first thing I saw was the Hulu original movie, Boston Strangler. And this stars Keira Knightley, and it follows kind of that true story of the Boston Strangler, who in the 60s in Boston killed 13 women. And Keira Knightley plays the reporter who started to investigate the case with another reporter to figure out who's doing these murders, why they're doing it, and how they could be caught. And there's been a podcast on the Boston Strangler. There's been stories and lots of other shows and things about that. I have never actually knew much of the story. It's a very interesting story, though. And this person did murders in Boston, but then years later, there were other murders in other cities. And not spoiling too much, because this is something that happened several decades ago, but you learn that it might have not just been one person. And in the storyline, they find out this one person needs, they do the confession, but it's really a series of people who may have done these murders either as a copycat or as something else that just got rolled into the Boston Strangler. So it's a good movie, you know, definitely one of those movies you watch and then you just read a little bit more to make sure what parts were accurate and what parts weren't. But Keira Knightley does a great job playing this reporter in the 60s and really tracking things down, and you get a good aesthetic of how 60s in Boston felt and that sense of fear, because it really did give people a big sense of fear in the neighborhood. People were buying locks. Young women were moving out of the neighborhood because everyone was just worried about this person, the serial killer that could be coming after them. So definitely, if you're a fan of crime dramas, look this up, watch it on Hulu. If you have the subscription, it's free to watch. The other thing I saw was a Netflix original movie, and it is a sequel to the Last Kingdom TV series. And I think Chike's watched the series. I've watched a few episodes, and I know it's a hit Netflix series, basically a British show that follows the story of it's the Vikings in England during the 866 time period, and how they interact and how the different kingdoms of England were warring with each other and uniting. And they finished the series last year or a couple years ago, and they decided to make a movie to kind of wrap up the whole story. And this movie is called The Last Kingdom, Seven Kings Must Die. And it stars the people from the original series, and it follows the storyline of the King of England has died, and now all of his children are vying for power, and how this, again, Viking navigates the structure and helps the correct people kind of get into power and avoid the troubles. So I've actually never seen the series, but I did watch the movie and I was able to follow along. There's a lot of stuff they did in the film that really got you up to speed, got you ready to go. They put a lot of plot into this, but the pacing was really well done. It was about 2 hours long, and the action moved forward quickly enough that you didn't feel like you were too confused or you didn't know what was going on. So I highly recommend it. But again, I will actually probably start watching this series because it seems like a really good series. It's one of those, I think, that came out near the end of the Game of Thrones time period, so may have gotten a little lost in the mix or really picked up an audience that was looking for more of that kind of drama. So Seven Kings Must Die, again, highly recommend. That's a fun one, and it's on Netflix if you have it.
Nice. I want to talk about Love is Blind. So I had seen the other seasons and I saw it was on Netflix, but I wasn't in a hurry to watch it. Then someone was telling me, you must watch it, so good. So I binge watched it over two days leading up to the reunion. And so the premise is 15 men, 15 women. They go into this home, but the women on one side, men on the other side, and they have these pods that you can go in and talk, but you don't get to see each other. And so over the course of the time they're in the pod, they, you know, you start going after the same person, you know, you're looking for the same person. Mm-hmm. So and so they're trying to see, can you fall in love with someone without seeing what they look like? So if you're successful, you can propose to the person in the pod. And then once the that part is over, they send all the couples who, well, I think they send all the cast to Mexico. And that's so they could really see the people they were talking to for the first time. And but you already picked your partner, right? So are we going to make it through Mexico? If you make it through Mexico, then they send you to your normal lives. And so, you know, people have to figure out where will we live, where, you know, whatever. So you find a lot of times when they meet in person, sometimes the person's not their type. You know what I mean? And so there's some people they still go along with just to see. But then anyway, so this season, three couples did get married. The fan favorite is, I just had their name. I should know this. Oh, the fan favorite is Tiffany and Brett. They instantly hit it off, like from day one. But they got married. Everyone knew that it was going to work out. Like, there was no drama literally with them. They had to create drama on the show. You could see, like, he had an issue with his tux right before the wedding. They had to, you could tell.
Yeah, a little bit of a forced, yeah.
But then there is Kwame and Chelsea. Now, I don't know why I was not shocked. A lot of people online don't think that he really likes her. And I'm thinking, why? But, yeah, but they got married. And then there was this other couple, Bliss. I think his name's Gary. So in the home, he had picked another girl. He told Bliss, you know, she knew he was dating two girls in the house, and he broke up with her. And he was crying when he broke up with her because he really liked her, but he also liked the other girl. So when him and the other girl meet, when they went to Mexico, she could tell she did not like him. They clashed. He ended up leaving Mexico. He went back and found Bliss, and he won her back, and they ended up getting married to on the show. But there was some controversy. So there was this guy, Marshall, and this other girl, I can't think of her name, Stacy? I don't know. But she did him dirty. So she fell in love with him in the pod. They meet in person, and she said on camera, not to him, that he's not really my type. I really like tall guys with tattoos. But she liked him, so she was going along with it. Well, towards the end, they have some party towards the end of the season, and one of the guys that she had two guys she was after, him and this other guy, Josh, I think. She likes Josh. She does not like Marshall. I think he was just too real for her, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so she ended up breaking up with him and getting with the other guy. But it was the way she did it. Like, she lied on social media and said that she broke up with Marshall before she met up with Josh. But she said to him, I just met with Josh. She told him that. So you're lying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So, but they did dirty. So anyway, they had the reunion. This is a year later. So the couples have been together a year later. All three were still married. And they were able to address things that were done on the show, you know, stuff that was on social media, because, you know, social media is a big part of it. The girl who did Marshall dirty, her and the guy, they're still together, Josh, they did not come to reunion. They did an interview privately with Nick Lachey's wife. What's her name? Vanessa?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Well, Nick Lachey, Vanessa, yeah. They want them gone, Nick and Vanessa. They feel like that Vanessa asked stupid questions, and Nick's just there for the money. and they didn't like the way that, like, at one point she was asking the women when they plan on having children. The women didn't like that. You know, why are you asking women about children? You know, kind of thing. You know, people are very sensitive. But there was a couple, I think it was their first season, they got married and they're still together. They've gone on and wrote books, and, you know, everybody loves them. They want them to host this. Think they should host the reunions moving forward, but there is a they're trying to get Nick and
You know, it's so funny. I heard I've heard that Nick actually, when they're together, he's just like awful, like just kind of static, like kind of generic. Mm. But when he's by himself, apparently he actually has a little more personality, and he actually like seems like a good host. So, yeah, very interesting dynamic with them.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it was really good, and I'm glad all three couples are still together. And I think I saw another couple got married after the show, like after the season was over. Mm-hmm. So what they met on, you know, being the cast, but they got married outside of that. But yeah, but it was definitely a good show. You know, it's just interesting because you think of I like the way they break up the dynamics. It's one thing, you're just meeting them and you're just hearing them. And so can you fall in love? Then you're going back to see everyone else that you talk to on in paradise in this Mexican resort. Then you're going back in your day-to-day lives where some people live some people live in Seattle, some people lived in Portland. You know what I mean? Where we're gonna live. And then you get to see how they keep their homes. Kwame's apartment was trashed, clothes everywhere, you know. Real life, they meet families, they meet friends. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the friends don't like the person or the parent. Like Kwame's mom, she didn't want to come on the show. She didn't come to the wedding because she didn't like the fact that he wasn't marrying an African woman, and that she didn't like the way that he went about meeting this woman. Mm-hmm. But they said on the reunion that they are good now and that she's met the mom and they had great Thanksgiving, whatever. But yeah, it's just interesting, the dynamics. I need to see. Before I say I do anything.
So you're not signing up for the next season?
No. That's the world anybody does.
Now, what were your thoughts? You know, Netflix is trying to do this whole live thing, which really, to me, doesn't make sense. Obviously, there was a big glitch, but like,
yeah.
Why? Oh, yeah. What's the value of this live show?
Well, they've never done anything live, right? And so, it was interesting, you know. Well, they had one live. What was
they did
live?
The Chris Rock show live.
That was live, and then this is the second live thing. Mm-hmm. Chris Rock show went fine. This one didn't, and it was funny. Netflix tweeted "Love is Blind" reunion is coming, you know, something, and Bravo tweeted, "We'll never keep you waiting for our reunions." We used to do live shows, but then we started having all these technical difficulties. And I was like, you know what? It's just easier just to pre-record it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I mean, there were times we're waiting to go live and then the server's not connecting, you know, or one time we go too long in a segment and the guest hangs up. I
mean, yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's just too many things that can go wrong.
Luckily I wasn't impacted by the delay because I was on the phone running my mouth. And so when I went to go watch it, it was already up. But I saw all the craziness on Twitter and social media. People were heated.
Yeah, they will turn on you quick.
Yes, yes. But it was good. I don't think that they held that girl, I think her name's Stacy, the one that did Marshall Dirt. I don't think they held her accountable. Vanessa didn't. She interviewed them, her and the other guy. She didn't hold him accountable. And then they kind of put Marshall in the hot seat, you know, but anyway. But the good thing was, so Brett and his wife, Brett, he made our best. He met his wife and a new friend because Marshall and him became friends. Marshall came to their wedding. You know, he supports them. So he's going to find his woman.
Yeah. And then before I forget, have you finished up Abbott Elementary for the season?
Is it over?
I think so. I mean, I think they've had the full run of 22 episodes.
Oh, yeah, but, you're right. It was over. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think?
That show was gold. I hate how they're dragging out this romance.
Yeah, so that's just what I was about to ask you about. You know, they led up to it, and then at the end of the season, they did a good, like, out to see how things go. But yeah. I guess the question is, and I can understand why, because no need to force these things, and this is kind of a TV show trope. Do you think if they did get together, would it be hard? I mean, it would be different to write. Would it be harder to write? You think it would lose some of that funniness?
Well, they would have to definitely come up with something you know, some other thing to kind of focus on. But it was similar, like when on The Office, when that couple got together, you know, they still were able to do the show, but it was their back and forth too. You know what I mean? I mean, I believe that if they get together, it's going to be on the season, on the series finale.
Really? You think they'll drag it off for that long? Because I mean, as long as they still have it in them, I can see the show going on for at least five more seasons.
Yes, it is really funny. I mean, hilarious. It was funny. The woman that plays the principal, the comedian, so she made a comment recently about Dave Chappelle. And she said that his concerts are, or the performances aren't funny. You know, people come to laugh and it's not really funny. And I saw someone put the comments, all right, girl, I like you, but shut up and get canceled.
Well, I will say to her defense, I think I haven't seen the last David Chappelle stand-up show I saw was probably like 2 or 3 years ago. It's too long between the punchline, I think, is what his problem is. He's going off and off and off and off, and then you're 10 minutes in and you get the joke, and you're watching like a 60-minute program, six jokes. I think that's the problem. He's gone too long, just speaking, and he hasn't learned to tighten up his act.
Well, you know, Monique, you know, she just had her special out on Netflix, which I watched. It was an hour long, and she got mixed reviews for hers as well. But I don't think hers was intended to be a slap your leg laugh. She was really telling the story. And as she tells stories, she would throw in certain jokes. But it was really like I was on Instagram the whole time. And every time I would laugh, but it wasn't like some more. Hers, I was balled over, falling out. Monique's, it wasn't. And she did have moments that were funny, but if you tell, it's more of a telling a story. And my best friend Ty said, well, they don't call it a comedy special.
That's true. The branding needs to be redone. That does make me think too. Abby and I saw Craig Robinson, you know, from The Office and Hot Tub Time Machine and everything like that perform. Yeah. And he had two good opening acts, stand-up comedians, and he goes on and he's funny, but it was like he played his music most of the time, like played songs, and it was almost like a karaoke style thing that had funny things interspiced with it. So again, it was one of those. I was expecting more of a stand-up routine and getting something else.
Yeah, so I think that's what threw a lot of people from Monique, because some people said, I tried to watch it twice, I just couldn't do it. And but I watched once. I thought it was good. You know, I think what she tried to accomplish, she did. But again, people were expecting, because you know, you watch the Queens of Comedy or other comedy shows, they're like funny. You know, this one was telling her story. And she touched on a lot of things. The takeaway was that she, because there've been a lot of rumors about her and her husband about them swinging and whatever, whatever. And she had said in a recent interview that they don't do that. And she said it wasn't like they were doing it all the time, but they don't do it at all anymore because, you know, they've grown so much together and they've built something and they don't want to jeopardize that pretty much. But she was saying in the comedy special that she was talking, she alluded to an aunt she had. They called her uncle something. She was gay, right? And how her grandmother, who was the aunt's mom, how she could never really love her publicly because of her religious beliefs. And Monique had these feelings of liking women and men, but she saw the way that her grandmother treated her aunt and didn't want her to treat her that way because she said her grandmother would do anything for her, loved her. And she said, so what she would do was she would, she became very promiscuous, and she joked about that. She said, I wasn't that much of a hoe, but I was a hoe. And promiscuous, and she, you know, when she was married three times, and her first two marriages, you know, she ran it, and, you know, she'd make all this money from the Parkers and all that. And then she met her husband. Now the people wonder why she calls him daddy, you know. She said, because she learned she'd be more submissive. But she said that she was laying in bed with him, and she said, I need to tell him about these feelings I have. Because they've known each other apparently forever. And so he said, you know, she got the nerve to tell him, you know, she was beating around the bush, and finally told her, she said, he looked at me so passionately, was so caring. He said, me too. He wants another woman too. But then she
delivery,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She said so passionately. And so, you know, she's almost crying. And she said, bitch, me too. but anyway, so but it didn't make much headlines, you know, that secret or whatever that she's bisexual or whatever. I don't know. But she said she couldn't be a full-on lesbian because after the woman finished pleasing her, she's getting up. I ain't touching that. I ain't going down there.
Well, this sounds like a good comedy special, I guess, right, yeah. I would call it. But
Anyway. Anything coming down the pipeline?
Nothing on my radar at the moment, but you know, I'll keep an eye out for what's next.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you as always, and hope you have a great week, and we will be right back after this.
Thank you.
It's so funny how things change. We were so close, but then you slipped away. Now I'm losing my baby. It's driving me crazy, and I'm about to go insane. The hell am I gonna do? Can't do this thing without you. Thought forever was on, now forever is gone. And baby girl, I'm missing you.
Took you on shopping sprees when all you really wanted was time with me. Eyes wide open, but I could not see. Just know if ever you give me a chance, I'm giving you all. Giving you all. Giving you all. Said I'm giving you all me, giving you all,
giving all,
giving you all of me, giving you all,
giving all. When I was struggling, you held me down. When I was slipping, girl, you stood your ground. Anytime I felt lost, always gave me real talk. You helped me be a better man. Then this music finally came around. I'm flying high, but you ain't leave the ground. The shit I put you through, the hell am I to do? Cause baby girl, I'm missing you.
Took you on shopping sprees,
yeah.
When all you really wanted was time with me.
Oh.
Eyes wide open, but I could not see.
Just know if ever you give me a chance,
I'm giving you all of me. Giving you all.
Giving all.
Giving you all of me. Giving you all.
Giving all.
Giving you all of me. Giving you all.
Giving all.
Giving you all of me. Giving you all.
Giving all.
Stop now, I'm giving you all, giving you all, giving you all, giving you all. Come back home.
Hi, this is Miss Robbie from Welcome to Sweetie Pies, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show.
Welcome back to The Stephen Knight Show. Now it's time to highlight our Black-owned business. Tonight we're highlighting Effect, everything done with intention. Here's the card if you can see it. I ran across this company at an event I went to, and they make lifestyle products like creams for eczema, other kind of creams for your skin and hair. They make bracelets and just other really nice apparel. So check them out. We'll have a link in the bio of this video. I want to thank you for joining us again tonight and hope you have a great week. We'll see you again next Monday. Good night.
Everything's gonna be alright. And when we get there, I'ma see a pretty, pretty, pretty young thing. I'ma ask her to take my hand, head to the floor.